This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here. Thanks for tuning in to the Authentic Persuasion Show. This is part three, here to talk to Dr. Michelle Welliver from Susquehanna University about the future of sales. Dr. Michelle, are you ready for the future?
I am ready for the future.
All right, let's dive into it. For people tuning in, check out her bio, check out all the information, the links in the show notes. We're going to dive into it. Also, if you caught the previous two, you know that she's in charge of a whole lot of things, develop things. Where I want to start with this, it's obviously the current and not the future, but I think it's fascinating, is that for you and Susquehanna University, you have sales under the communications department. And I think that's fascinating and makes sense. Usually it's under business, or it could be under marketing. Some schools have no idea what to do with it. Like, tell me about how that evolved. And is that just you being a marketing, advertising, PR person who then developed a sales program and took it with you?
Kind of. But I think it, like you said, it does make perfect sense. So I came from a school where I was working in the business school, and I was in the marketing department, and was working in the sales, kind of teaching sales classes, teaching marketing classes, and doing all the things that sales educators do. I was coaching students. I was, bringing them to competitions. And it was so cool because I was able to kind of teach what I knew and loved it. But I think I told you earlier that I went back to school. I was an adjunct professor for many years while I worked in sales, and decided that, I wanted to kind of make it official. Not that an adjunct professor isn't official, but I wanted to be, on the tenure track. So I had toyed with the idea of going back to get my PhD for years and years and years, and I finally did it. And so I came to Susquehanna as my first job after getting my PhD. And I came here, and in my interview, I talked about, it was in the communications department that I interviewed for the advertising professor in the communications department. And when I interviewed for the job, the chairperson at the time, the lady that interviewed me, said, "Well, I see that you do sales. What do you think about, doing sales here?" And I said, "I would love to bring sales to Susquehanna." And so her and I kind of talked about how it would be a perfect fit to be in the communications department. And it would be a perfect fit because what I knew really was media sales. And so I'm going to be teaching advertising. And then a lot of my students in advertising, could choose that route to go into sales. So that's where it started. And I brought a sales class. So I created, soon after I got here, I created a sales class, just, professional selling. And it was an elective class that the advertising students could take. And then later, I kind of talked to some of my colleagues in the business school, and I said, let's do a minor. And I knew that, at my previous school that we had a minor and that it was really popular. And so we kind of coordinated efforts. And some of the classes are business classes and some of the classes are communications classes. And I think as we grow it into a major, it's going to continue to be interdisciplinary, and it's going to have many more classes besides the communication and the business. We're going to draw from all across campus. And we kind of have a framework for that now, but it's exciting because so much of sales is so much more than marketing. Even though it falls under marketing, under that promotion piece of the four P's, but it's still so much more than that. And as anybody who does sales knows, a simple business degree isn't going to give you all that you need to be able to hit the ground running in sales. So that's kind of how it was born. It was because I brought it with me, and it kind of because it made sense.
And it's fascinating because as you're talking about it, I'm thinking sales is also not clearly under business. And people think, oh, well, it's business and sales, and you have to understand business. And if you understand business, but a lot of times, business degree or business school is teaching a lot of business things that aren't necessarily going to help sales.
Right.
Sales is a part of every business, but so is marketing, and so is communication, and so is leadership.
Yes.
So is interpersonal skills. But where does that fall under? Sales is just this weird thing that could fit under marketing, could fit under business, could fit under communications. And that's fascinating to see where, you know, you decided and Susquehanna decided to put it. And again, it's the same thing that, you know, that conversation can be had about organizations and where does sales fall under, where does marketing fall under, who should run what, and you know, which parts do they fit in, and, you know, kind of gets messy because it's not as clear as other departments.
Right.
So shifting to the future now, when we talk about it, what do you think, let's talk about buyers first. What do you think buyers are going to want more of from salespeople, more of or less of from salespeople in the future / they already want it now?
Well, I think we have a lot of, and I'm sure you know this from talking to other sales educators, that we have a lot of businesses that we invite into our classrooms, whether it's just to speak or whether it's to recruit. But a lot of them talk about modes of communication, right? And, you know, we went through with the COVID pandemic, a lot of online communication. And I think we're out of that, right? And I don't want to make any proclamations that the pandemic is over or not over or whatever, but I think people are over being talked to virtually only, right? And so I think where a lot of businesses went virtual during that pandemic and then kind of became hybrid as we got out of the pandemic, I think more and more businesses, at least the ones we're talking to, are seeing that clients want to be seen in person. And so we're getting away from even that hybrid type of sales environment where, even though that was kind of efficient, right? Being able to talk to people on Zoom and emailing them, right? They want to be seen. And so I know that that's a big change, that we really have to be more overt in how we talk to our clients about how they want to be seen. Kind of like what I was talking about when I first started in sales. We need to know. So I think one of those things is to be seen in person. I don't know if that was the answer to your question that you were looking for, or
and I think that's fascinating, because again, I ask this question of every guest, and you know, it's interesting where you went with that, because I think it is so true. I mean, from a buyer's perspective, virtual is nice because you can also do multiple things, but if you have an actual problem and you actually don't know what the solution is and you're looking for help versus looking for a transaction order taker, like we talked about in the last part, then do you want to do everything virtually or do you want to do something in person? Where is that balance, and how are you going to understand if you can trust somebody or not, right?
Right. And I think, you know, as far as the sales process itself, I think, you know, as we moved away from transactional selling into relationship building, and now we're at this kind of consultative selling, it's only going to be more that buyers are looking for from their salespeople. You know, in this technology age, I think it's kind of, you can look at it two different ways. People like technology, but they want to be seen. They still crave those interpersonal relationships, those kind of in-person relationships as well. But the technology can also be very helpful, that you can kind of research as a salesperson, and you can use LinkedIn and you can use other, you know, tools to find out things that buyers need to know besides just what product and service you're selling, and be a resource for them. And I think that it's only going to increase what buyers want from their salespeople. They want them to not only sell to them, but to be a resource. And I think, so it's kind of like a dual thing that this technology can provide us and what buyers might be looking for.
And so then from a salesperson perspective, what are they going to need to do more of, and or how do you see them, or what's the best way for them to shift, especially anybody who's been doing sales the last few years, where they've gotten used to, spoiled or lazy because of virtual technology, remote kind of, you know, the ease of trying to sell virtually?
Well, I think again, it goes back to communication. You have to find out from your clients what they want. You're going to quickly see the clients who aren't buying from you, and you're going to want to know why, right? And so a lot of it might be that mode of communication, and a lot of it might be a lot of other things too. But for me, I think that something that's very clearly in the spotlight in sales is this: do we do virtual? Do we do hybrid? Do we do in person? And I know that, we have a company that comes into our classroom quite regularly, and they were previously hiring for virtual sales jobs, and the students were like, "Wow, that's what I want." And now it's it, then it went hybrid, and now it's in person, and so now they have to relocate, and they're like, "Ugh." But that's the wave of the future. That's what we're seeing, and that's because that's answering what the clients are looking for. But I mean, I think, the general principles, like I said before, though, are gonna remain the same. They want people that are gonna be able to solve their problems, just do it better than anybody else.
Where do you see that balance with salespeople from the sales perspective and technology that's available now, technology that's emerging, and them balancing that part, right? With like what you said, where how the buyers want to buy and how they want to be communicated with, but then from salespeople being able to balance that, like you said, of meeting the buyers where they want to be.
Well, I think it's all a negotiation, right? I mean, if you can't get to every place all the time, then you need to kind of set the boundaries. And I always tell my students this, sales is a 24/7, 365 day a year job, but you can set boundaries, right? You can say, I'm available Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. On the weekends, if it's an emergency, text me or call me or whatever mode that you're going to check. If it's, if you just email me, I'm probably not going to answer it. But if you call and I know it's an emergency, then I'll get back to you. And I mean, I don't know what kind of sales you'd be selling. Maybe if you were a financial planner or something, if a stockbroker and something happened, it might be an emergency, but we're allowed to set boundaries. And it's the same thing with in-person or virtual. We can say, I can get there once a week, once a month, whatever. But, are you okay with this part of the time being virtual? And I think you need to set boundaries in sales because otherwise it can consume you. One of the other things, I think it was Zig Ziglar that he said was, if you don't have a happy personal life, you can't do well in your sales life. And if you don't, you have to be able to balance it, right? And I'm guilty of that sometimes, not balancing, right? And because teaching is just like sales. It's a full-time job. You're always looking, especially in my business, what I teach. I'm not teaching, not to down history professors, but I'm not teaching history. My stuff changes all the time, and I have to know, what are the newest things? What are, what's new with sales technology, and what's new with, with LinkedIn? How can we utilize this technology or that technology? So, but you have to set boundaries. And I tell my students, I'm available all the time. I'll get back to you right away if it's during the week. If it's the weekend, it might not be right away. And so if you set up that, your boundaries ahead of time, then you should be okay. But I also tell students, you really have to utilize the technology. And this is not about meeting people in person or not, but you have to utilize the power of LinkedIn and some of these other platforms. LinkedIn especially, we talk about being professionals and having credibility in sales. If you can post things and it's just something simple like maybe reposting some of the stuff that your business puts out about some new products or whatever. If I see, your face, Jason's face all the time with, associated with this business, I'm going to say, that guy knows what he's doing. And look at all, he's like a mover and a shaker. I want to deal with him. So some of that is that self-promotion. I am not a self-promoter. I am very kind of for being in the fields that I'm in, I'm famously kind of shy on social media, but I do use LinkedIn. And I think that LinkedIn is important because I think it just gives you credibility. And I'm all about not bragging, but about self-promoting.
Where do you see the students or the salespeople you've worked with embracing that, understanding it, or pushing back on that personal branding posting mode, which is usually a hot topic with salespeople and companies of what they want and what's actually being done?
I think it's very mixed. I think some companies love it and other companies not so much. But most of the companies that we work with actually embrace that, to use your word. They like it and they're seeing our salespeople and they're asking about the salespeople that they see on LinkedIn. And I mean, today, no one goes to, I mean, not to down the job sites, but no one really goes to Indeed much anymore. They're finding jobs on LinkedIn. So if I'm connecting with somebody on LinkedIn that has, you know, 200 followers versus that 500 plus, right? That threshold, I'm like, okay, this person understands how to promote themselves. They understand how to network. They've got this big group and that's the person I'm going to look for in sales. Now there might be other businesses, other professions where that doesn't mean anything, but in sales, I think it means a lot.
Makes sense.
Yeah. One of our first assignments that they do in my advanced selling class is if they don't have a LinkedIn, they have to create a LinkedIn and then they have to actually connect with 15 new people and they can't just connect. Like I can't just send you an invitation. I have to actually send a message about how I know you or why I want to connect to you or whatever. I saw this or I saw that. And they have to do it with 15 people. And some of it takes the whole semester to do it. But I give them the whole semester because, you know, I want them to do it. So I think it's important to know how to use LinkedIn and to know, you know, have a professional headshot and to know how to be a professional. I'm big on being a professional.
Well, and I think the biggest thing that I see with that is that by the time somebody talks to you either the first time as a salesperson or the second time or wants to think about following up or responding to your follow-up, they're going to research you. They're going to look you up. They're going to look up your company. You just assume that. Not everyone will, but you should always just assume that. And so what will they find is what I always ask people. Mm-hmm. When they say, well, do I have to make my own LinkedIn? Do I have to do this and that? So you don't have to do anything. But when they look you up, will they find? And like you said, will you have two connections, 200 connections, or 1,000 connections and actually have a professional shot on there that doesn't look like, you know, a selfie at a party that you decided to post on your LinkedIn with like, it's just you, but you can see that it's a party. I'm just saying that because I've seen that where, okay, now do I really want to take you seriously as a salesperson, like you said, as a professional? And am I going to trust you and want to buy from you if this is what I'm finding online? And again, not every buyer will think that way or make those decisions, but you should always assume that they will. And like you said before, if they've got two decisions to make, they got two different people trying to sell them, which one are they going to trust? Which one is more professional? Which one are they going to take seriously? And then the question is that you?
And right. And it might be that just that first look, you know, I'm when I was growing up, my mom used to say, you know, we would, how do we dress for this? What should I wear? My mom used to say, you know what? Dress nicely. You should be the best dressed in the room, never the worst dressed, right? So every occasion. So I say, try to be the best, you know, try to look the best, try to act the best, try to, you know, speak the best. You should try to achieve greatness. And then, you know, people will think, unfortunately, that's the way the world works. Or fortunately, you know, if you want to be a professional, you have to try hard at it, right? You have to work hard at it. And for people to take you seriously.
Exactly. Where do you see the salespeople that you're working with, the students, balancing the different kind of communication, right? And wanting, like what you were saying, is more in person or over the phone versus the text and the email and the chat. You know, where is that part of what they're embracing, and or where do you see some resistance?
I mean, I think it's split, really. I think some students like the idea of never having to sit in one place and never having to, you know, have a desk job, and love the idea of, you know, relocating, having a territory and being able to just kind of work out of their car. And others, you know, don't like that idea at all. They want a more structured job, and they're looking more at inside sales jobs where they can kind of, you know, sit. But I don't see a lot of virtual sales jobs anymore. I mean, I feel like they're few and far between, and I might be wrong. But that's just my point of view right now, is I'm not seeing a lot of those. And I think students are okay with those, because most students really despised the whole COVID years of learning online. So I don't think many of them want to go back to working online. Just, you know, that's just my informal assessment of the situation. Sure, there's students who are like, wow, a virtual job would be awesome, but not many, I don't think.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. Final thoughts on the future of sales as we wrap this up? Anything else come to mind when you think about the future of sales?
Well, I mean, I think the future of sales education is very bright, and I can talk about that because I know that. And I think that, you know, the more schools that have sales as some sort of degree, emphasis, certificate, minor, major, whatever, the more it gives credibility to sales as a potential profession for students. And I think we're only helping each other, the more schools that do this. And I'm part of a group, the Sales Education Foundation. I'm sure you've heard about it if you've talked to other professors. And, you know, we share ideas, and, you know, we do kind of cool things with the students, and we all learn from each other. And, you know, we learn how to recruit for our sales programs. We learn how to, you know, what kind of curriculum to bring into the sales program. And I think, so for, as far as education is concerned, it's very bright. And if you kind of look out there and see what jobs are available for students, probably besides nursing, you know, sales is number one. And so we're preparing students to get jobs, and we're seeing placement of, you know, almost 100% when we have students who get serious about selling. I have businesses all the time who come in, and I said this before, but they do workshops with our students. Some just talk, and some do workshops, and they tell me, you know, your students are ready to hit the ground running. You know, all they need to do is learn about our product, and they're ready. They're excited. They're excited that schools are doing this. It helps them. It helps them fill spots when sales is just growing and their business is growing. So I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited about it because it's something that I'm passionate about. I don't think there's any subject matter that's more fun to teach in the classroom than sales. I mean, we're just like one big happy family. And like I said earlier, I get so sad when they graduate, but there's always new ones. So
That's how you know you're building a community and doing things in a certain way as a teacher, when you're sad when they're going and you don't want them to leave, but you know that they need to kind of leave, yes, the nest and go out there, but you definitely don't want it. And especially if that's a majority of your students, you feel that way, right? Not just a few special ones.
Well, so many of them come back and want to talk. They email me and they're like, oh, Professor Welliver, so you probably want me to come back and talk. I'm like, absolutely. Please come back, talk to the class, whether you Zoom in or you come back. And they're just so passionate about it and had such a great time in it, in the classes, that they want to give back. And they know that we had guest speakers when they were there, and they want to be those guest speakers. So it's just kind of like this big happy family, and it just keeps, you know, keeps growing, and it's exciting to see, for sure.
I love it.
Especially when they get jobs.
And I think it's really important too, like you said, for the future of sales, like the kind of students that are coming out, they're hitting the ground running, and they're taking what they're learning at a university like yours and then getting into a job, and they're further ahead than somebody who's just like, let me just get this sales job as a stopgap, like we said in part one of your journey, right? Where you're like, all right, I guess I'll do sales, versus I've been studying it, I've been practicing, I've been role playing, like I have the fundamentals. Now let me work on it in a real world.
We're seeing our students actually get promoted, you know, within a year they're getting promoted. That's, you know, that's how, you know, ready they are. It's super exciting.
I love it. And that's why I love having these conversations and promoting these kind of programs, because I think the more that, you know, universities can fill these with students who want to go out there into a professional sales role, or at least take these classes and understand how sales should be done from a buyer customer perspective, even if they're, you know, in chemistry or engineering and they're never going to be in sales, but understanding sales. And then obviously the more schools that have these programs, it will totally shift the way sales is done from that stopgap show up and just kind of wing it mode to being more of a profession. And so I think that's amazing. And as we wrap this up, for people who want to find out more, they want to connect with you. Speaking of LinkedIn, they can connect with you there, which is, of course, if anyone knows me, that's where we connected via, which was LinkedIn. So they can find you, Michelle Welliver, Welliver. And then there's also the Susquehanna website, which is susqu.edu. Both of those will be in the show notes with your complete bio. Please, if you're watching or tuning into this, connect with Dr. Michelle, find out what she's doing, follow her on LinkedIn. Just in general, even if you don't want to be a part of the program, just support these kind of programs and get it into your feed and other feeds so that people are just more aware so we can shift this. And again, Dr. Michelle, thank you for being here and sharing all this. And thank you, as I say to everyone, thank you for what you're doing with students and what you're doing to help fill the future of sales with more professionals.
Sure. And if any businesses, you know, want to talk to our students, we're always looking for businesses that, you know, employ salespeople that want to talk to our students, or, you know, recruit students, or, you know, just kind of talk about the sales process. We have them come in and do workshops and all sorts of things. So I'm open to that. So please connect with me.
Awesome. And we'll have your other contact information in the show notes as well if people want to find you, or again, through LinkedIn. And again, thank you for being here, and for everyone tuning in, thank you for being a part of this journey of helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.